anticipating sharing this all week long because I've been hearing from several different people, conversations that I've had, the same thing coming up in conversation. You know, throughout the week, you pray and you say, Lord, show me what you want me to share, that I can share your will with people, your word with people. You don't want to share your own ideas. You need to share God's ideas. Amen? And so you submit yourself. You yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then he brings things to your attention. And that's a blessing of a process, you know. And so this morning, I'm going to share something that I believe the Lord has for us. A powerful insight, in fact, that he's given to us as a church. So what I'm going to teach on this morning relates to thinking and the mind. And you might have heard, you might not have heard, a word called visualization. And the word visualization can be connected to Bible truths. And I'm going to explore it this morning because it can be a vital, life-impacting, life-transforming truth. Come with me straight away into the book of Hebrews, if you would, in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews and chapter 12 in the New Testament. And we're going to learn some lessons this morning that perhaps we wouldn't have thought of previously. But I promise you this, if you take these lessons on board, they will transform things in your life. You can take this word and use it to change the circumstances of your life. That's a guarantee. It comes from the Word of God itself. So it says in Hebrews 12, let's read from verse 1 there, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that the first scripture here in Hebrews teaches us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Obviously, as Jesus is no longer contained to his earthly body, this fixing of our sight is a spiritual sight, a spiritual activity of putting our focus onto the Lord Jesus. So how do we do this? Well, we use our free will. We make a decision and we exercise our imagination towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now then, in this particular context, the Bible is causing us to focus on Jesus as the author and perfecter of a Christian faith. And the example that he set for us in enduring that which we might not like, because we know that is what we are called to do. In other words, we ought to be mature enough to discern what is right and have enough faith to do it as obedient followers of Jesus. Our spiritual sight is a key aspect of the Christian life. We are to see things with the eyes of faith. In the book of Proverbs, we read this. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Again, this talks about vision, mental sight, a vision. In this case, the context is pertaining to people keeping the law and living happy because of that mentality of obedience. The person with mental and spiritual sight has the vision to understand that following God's law produces happiness in life. It takes vision to properly do that, which we might think at first is obvious. What is vision? The dictionary describes it as the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. You know, it takes vision to live the Christian life. Really. Just to do the basic foundational things is an act of vision. For example, it's fairly basic and foundational that a Christian ought to prioritize assembling together every week. We read it in Hebrews a couple of chapters before the first scripture we've read this morning, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, many Christians do not prioritize church attendance, for example, on Sunday or midweek prayer meetings because they lack the vision of what will result from diligently applying themselves to attend those meetings. So if there's no vision, what happens? It produces lack. And when people don't have the vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And you bring that up to a New Testament. He that keepeth the new covenant, happy is he. So it seems, it's an obvious thing, you know, for us to be attending those meetings. But because people don't see the vision, they don't have a vision for it, they don't bother doing it. So in other words, they can't see, what's the point in attending prayer? You know, I've got other things to do. There's this, the Sunday service. Well, you know, it's just, I can worship the Lord on the golf course. You know, listen, when we have the right vision and when we say to ourselves, the Bible says, and I'm going to be a person who follows the Word of God, therefore, I'm going to do what the Word tells me to do, and I'm going to be at this. I'm going to go to that worship to be with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to go to that prayer meeting. I'm going to pray in that prayer meeting. You know, I can remember when I was offered a salary, it was over five times the average salary at the time when I was in employment. Over five times the average salary I was offered by this company. And I said no to them. And it wasn't difficult to say no. Why? Because I had a vision of what I'd be missing out on. I had a vision of what God had called me to do. God had called me to go into pastoral ministry to preach and teach the gospel. And because I had a vision of that in my mind, it was easy to say no to the job. It wasn't difficult to say no to the extra money. Why? Because I had a vision. And that vision made me understand that that would be the wrong thing because it meant that I would miss the midweek prayer meeting. And the midweek prayer meeting was so important to me, it was so important that I'd be with my brothers and sisters in prayer that I didn't want to sacrifice that for, you know, whatever the salary would be. Can you see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is get a vision. Understand what God is saying for you and your life, and then yield to what the Word teaches us about the Christian life, and then what happens is your life will produce what God has called you to produce. It's a basic, fundamental thing, but so many miss out because they don't have a vision. They don't see the point. But God is saying, hey, listen, he's encouraging us and saying, listen, don't forsake the assembling together. God's got plans for you. God's got great plans for you. He wants to do great things in and through your life. And this is just a basic little first step. I mean, this isn't, you know, we're not talking now advanced stuff. We're talking basic stuff. So this is what he set out in the Word. How many believe the Word of God? Amen. Amen. How many want to follow the Word of God? Amen. Wish every hand was up. You know, watch this. God puts it so nicely when he speaks to us. And when we put God first in our life, and we train ourselves to have a vision of understanding what will be produced when we do what the Bible says we should do, when we yield our lives to him and his word, then we know that the way we're going is the right way. you know, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So the subject then of visualization has caused many objections by some people. You know, the word even, it creates suspicion for some. And it fills them with accusations that those who believe in visualization are following the same way as anyone heard of metaphysical cults. Well, that's one group who believe in visualization. And then there's the New Age movement. We've all heard of that, I expect. Well, they believe in visualization. And also Hinduism, they believe in visualization. And also secular society, they've embraced visualization. And some celebrities have endorsed even it. So, for example, celebrities such as the golfer Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bill Gates. And during a 2008 interview, the famous actor Will Smith, he said he used visualization to overcome challenges and, in fact, visualized his success years before he became successful. But there was a striking example of the actor Jim Carrey, who in 1987 wrote himself a check for $10 million. And on the back of it, he wrote for acting services rendered. And he said that he wanted that before Thanksgiving 1995. And in 1994, he received $10 million for the film that he made called Dumb and Dumber. So he says that visualization helped him to get there. You see? Now, because of that, people are suspicious because they say, well, it's, you know, those are secular people, those are New Age movement, etc. I don't like it. It's something wrong with it. I don't see the word visualization in the Bible. I'm not sure about it. But let me show you this. Whilst there's so many negative accusations and suspicions, what I want to say is this. If I told you that love was recognized and fully supported by groups such as the metaphysical cults, the New Age movement, and Hinduism, and secular society, that wouldn't mean that you'd then be saying, oh, well, I'm not interested in love because all those people are interested in love. You see, you follow the logic. No. What you do is, what we would do, we'd say, well, what do they mean by love, and what do we mean by love? Well, if anyone is ever suspicious of you when you mention visualization, just tell them the same. Say, you're not talking about secular visualization or New Age vision. You're talking about Christian visualization in accordance with an understanding of the Word of God. Let me show you. The Webster Dictionary describes visualization as the formation of mental visual images. And Christian visualization is using our God-given imagination to bring into our thinking that which the Bible says we should be and do in this world. 2 Corinthians 10:5 gives us an interesting insight into the thinking and the mind. It says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, Paul's weapons not only can demolish the strongholds, which was in verse 4, the previous verse, which we haven't read, but in verse 5 he says they can also take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And the verb there, it means to take a prisoner of war. Basically, so Paul is saying, take those thoughts that we have that aren't from God, and they come into our mind. They're implanted there by the enemy. And what happens is they come into our mind, and they're like enemy troops. They're like enemy forces. And they're going around in our mind trying to direct our thinking, trying to direct our belief system, so that we then follow the enemy's route rather than our God-given destiny and route. You see, what you think, you will believe, and what you believe, you'll receive. So if your thinking is wrong, the believing's wrong, and then the receiving's going to be wrong. But if you can get the thinking right, and then you can get the believing right, and then the receiving right, it's a victory in life. And so what God is saying to us is this: be aware of the thoughts that you have. And in the scripture, he's saying, listen, there are times when you should take those thoughts captive. They're not from you. And sometimes you'll have a thought and you'll feel guilty even for having that thought. It's not your thought. Don't take ownership of it. The enemy planted a thought in your mind. It wasn't from you. He puts a suggestion there. He does something, you know, view it as the enemy's thinking. Don't view it as yours. Don't take ownership of it. Arrest it. Say it's that we take it prisoner, take it captive. And that is not my thought. I will not allow that thought to have any victory or direction in my life. No way. And that's a very important lesson that scripture is teaching us, that Paul is trying to explain to us. And he's doing it for a reason, because then we're not left with empty thoughts in our mind. You know, visualization, meditation in the new age movements and those sorts of things, they try and empty your mind. When we take our thoughts captive, it's that the mind will be filled with God-given thoughts, with the Word of God, that the Word of God is going to be poured in, that faith will come, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, you know, that this is why we take those things captive. That creates a space. That space then is meant to be filled by the Word of God. And we're meant to yield then to that Word of God. It's so beautiful. This is a recipe for success in life, victory over circumstances, and a great future for you and your family, your children, grandchildren, relatives, anyone who knows you, in fact. Because you are someone who's been called to walk as a ruler walks, to reign in life, as Romans 5:17 puts it, to be that which expresses Christ on planet Earth. Amen? Amen. So then, Jesus lived in pictures in the Bible continuously. Turn with me, for example, here to John 5. In John 5, verse 19, isn't it warm here? Can we open up a window just? I'll put this, I don't like this thing too much. It makes too much noise. But a little bit would be okay. John 5, and in John 5, verse 19, it says this: then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Praise God. Jesus was seeing his Father doing things. His eyes could see the Father at work. He could visualize what God was doing. He had the sight to see it, you see. We know from the scripture that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So he wasn't seeing a flesh version of God. He was seeing God through the eyes of faith, doing that which he was then to do. In other words, he was visualizing it. Can you see that? See, it's important not just to read these scriptures and not understand them. The scriptures are given that we would understand the scriptures, apply the scriptures, and thereafter be transformed by the scriptures. And so that's what we're doing when we exercise understanding. For example, a way that I do sometimes is to visualize myself there. I picture myself there. Picture yourself in that scripture. What does that mean? What could that scripture mean? It can only mean what I've just described. I'm careful when I assess scripture. I look to the Greek. I look to the original context. And I won't take anything out of context to suit what I'm trying to say. I won't do it. I'm charged with too much of a responsibility to do that. So I look to the scripture, look to the context, and if the scripture's telling me something that in fact I don't want to, it's not something that I want to say, well, I'll go with what the scripture says. Who am I? I must yield to what the scripture's teaching. And in this instance, it's clear that Jesus was seeing his Father. He was seeing him. That's a visualization. That's how Jesus worked. Now, let me ask you a question. If we are to follow Jesus, is it okay for us to do the same, to picture, imagine, visualize? How many are with me? Put your hand up. Praise God. Praise God. Watch, and this is so powerful, you know, because this really is life transforming. This will change things. I mean, I have testimonies of me. When I first understood this and started to apply this, oh, everything changed. Everything changed. I've shied away from sharing this in this church. I've shied away from it because I know that when you mention the word visualization to some people, I've seen their faces, their eyes go, you know, you look at someone and their eyes go, you know, it just, they're switching off. They've closed off. And, you know, I wanted to avoid that. But I thought, because when I pray in the week, I pray for the people in the church, I want the best for everyone in the church. My heart is saying, you must share this now. Because there's people with needs. And it's not, you've got to share it. Because this is how you live your Christian life. You have to share this. And if some people don't understand, they take it the wrong way, hey, they always will. They always will. There's no pleasing some. So there's always going to be people who take things the wrong way, they don't understand, they miss, you know, it's almost like they just, God bless them. So this is for those who have ears to hear. Amen. He says this. In Matthew 21:22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believing, you will receive. And then the same account in Mark's gospel, and I'll read from Mark 11, chapter 20. Very interesting because it goes into more detail, and he says this. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Some people, you can translate that various ways through the Greek, of God. For assuredly I say to you, verse 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I mean, what's the qualification? It's belief. And then verse 24, he reiterates what we've just read in Matthew's account. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But it's about belief. So how do belief and faith come? Well, we know, don't we? Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear, and let me show you how to hear from God. Consider the words that you read. Think about them. Know that those words are your advisors. They're your counsel. They provide a full counsel for success and victory in life. Put it like this. If those soldiers that we've taken captive of, the enemy soldiers, you remember, we took them captive? We took those ones captive, and now what we have is a whole army, a more powerful army of people who are on our side. counselors. And now those are the soldiers that we invite in to counsel us, to school us in the way that will lead to success and victory, the way that leads into the impossible mountain-moving faith realm. And what we do is we silence ourselves and we listen to those words. And when we listen to those words, we start allowing those words to come in to our very being. And I like what Jesus says. He describes it. He says, let his word abide in us. They abide in us. Watch this. Well, it says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So don't think this involves a quick read and no engagement with the text. We've got to engage in the text to extract understanding that will be rich enough to be of use to us in our lives. It says this in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Isn't that beautiful? Now, we're commanded to meditate on the word. Now, that involves prayerfully rolling it around in our hearts and our minds, and picturing it as we meditate upon the scripture. Picture what the text is saying. And then using our imagination to create a picture in our mind. Then picture ourselves manifesting the word of God in our lives. What is belief? Belief is seeing something before it happens. That's just what it is, isn't it? Philippians 4:8 says something beautiful. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate. Meditate on these things. So the Old Testament talks about meditating. The New Testament talks about meditating. The New Age movement talks about meditating. Will the fact that they use meditation stop us from meditating? No. So we will meditate on the Word of God. We'll roll it around in our minds. We'll think on it. We'll allow it to come into our very beings, okay? And then what happens is that Word becomes living in us. Belief, okay, is recognizing something before the facts. From Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Belief is seeing something before it happens. Watch this. These are real, true testimonies. Now, I have, most of you know, a formal theological education. And a good formal theological education. I spent years in Bible colleges, and they never taught me this. They didn't teach this in the Bible colleges. In Bible colleges, they teach, higher criticism. You look at the text, you critique it, you come out with whatever. But I found that there wasn't much power in that. In fact, it leads to depression, doubt, fear, anxiety, and frankly, a questioning attitude. People, questioning. You meet people, they're questioning all the time. You know what? It's not so clever. It's more clever to come up with the answers. Amen? Anyone can come up with the questions. They're questioning all the time. What I found was where the power lies is in this. When we say to ourselves, the Bible says, faith as big as a mustard seed, I can move, I can speak to the mountain, I can do that. When I first started reading that, and I spoke to a man, he said, absolutely, you can. And I thought, well, I think he's a bit eccentric, That's what I thought. I thought, the poor thing, he's ignorant of the scriptures. He hasn't got my level of education, frankly. So what does he know? That was my attitude. Talk about ignorance. Totally ignorant I was. And then I said, well, I looked at his life, and I saw a life where he leading many people to the Lord, a life of power. You know, you want to really look at someone's life. That's the testimony, you know. And I saw power. I saw life, abundant life. And so then I said, I'm going to now apply those scriptures then. And I started to have adventures in faith, beautiful adventures. I tell you, for example, as I was thinking of this, the first times I was using this understanding, I remember being stuck in the Welsh countryside in my car. We'd run out of petrol. It was getting dark at night. I was with my parents. They're sitting in the back of the car. And it's getting dark, and I hadn't been diligent to put enough petrol in, and my dad was in the back, and you know my dad, you know, and he said, Stephen, he said, there's no petrol in the car. I said, oh dad, look, I said, you're not going to understand this, mum and dad. They weren't Christians at the time. I said, you won't understand this, but just go with me. Let's just close our eyes, and I'm going to pray. No petrol. I said, Father, I'm sorry I wasn't diligent enough to put the petrol in. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for that, Lord. I knew I did wrong. I said, however, in the authority that I have as a Christian, owning the name of Jesus Christ, and then I visualized it. I visualized fuel in the tank of the car, and then I spoke it. I saw it. And then I spoke it. And I speak fuel into the tank of this car. Well, I think my mum and dad thought I'd gone, you know, I'd been out in the sun a bit too long or something. But, you know, I turned the car key and that car starts up immediately. And we drove many, many miles before we had to fill the tank up. My point is, that when we leave the cerebral, leave this behind, and step out into the realm of faith, the realm of all things are possible, that's when we start to encounter what God has in store for us. God has great things in store for us. Each one of us here this morning is fearfully, wonderfully made, part of God's great, rich creation. Made in his image. And he's got great things for each one of us to do in life. Great things. And you see, the enemy wants to come in and rob from us. He wants to get us thinking doubt and fear. And he doesn't want us to visualize what Jesus can do in and through us. I remember once they put a lady in front of me who had a stroke. She was bent up like this. Was anyone there that night in the hotel in the center of the town? One person, a stroke like this. And they put her in front of me. And the room was full, 100 people or so, and the gospel businessman's meeting. And I remember the thought came into my mind, now you're stuck. Because we'd had some miracles, testimonies, front pages of the newspaper. Everyone was excited, you see. Now you're stuck. And immediately, I arrested that thought. I arrested that thought. Take that thought prisoner. That's not right. That's not right thinking. That's wrong thinking, which produces wrong believing, which produces wrong receiving. So took that prisoner and instead released right thinking. I can do all things in my mind. I can do all things through Christ. I start pouring scriptures into my mind. And then as I put my hands out, I visualized. I saw Jesus' hands. They were bigger hands, and they were over my hands, but I saw his hands. Visualization, I saw that. And I laid hands on her, and in the name of Jesus, spoke life to that body. Exercising faith, speaking to the mountain. And saying, life come into you body now in the name of Jesus. And what happens? The stroke literally melted off the woman's body. It melted off. Her face, which was, she was like this for 2 years, her face turned down, like this. And the people in the room jumped up and started cheering. Hallelujah. So it takes a vision that's supernatural, spiritual vision, having the eyes of faith and exercising that sight for the purposes of God. Visualization. Now let me say this. In your life, is there circumstances? Are there things in your life? Exercise that visualization. Visualize what the Bible teaches happening in your life. Visualize it. See it. F.F. Bosworth, a great man of faith, he said this. He'd never received anything in the physical that he hadn't first seen in the supernatural. Never received anything in the physical that he hadn't first seen in the supernatural. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of which isn't seen. It's talking about, the context of that is physical sight. It's talking about it isn't seen in the physical, but it is seen very often before it takes place, not always, but very often before in the spiritual. Amen? So let's have a time of responding and let's exercise that for our lives and our families, and let's enter in so that the Lord can really minister in and through us. Amen? Let's stand then, and let's have the keyboard. Please, everyone, just stand with me. Would you join me as we continue this later on this evening, I think, and talk about this in further depth this evening. But let's just now respond to him. And I invite everyone here to close their eyes. Let's just close our eyes. No one looking around, please, no one looking around. Let me ask, God has something for you. God has something for you that he wants you to take today. How do you take it? Visualize it first. Exercise vision. There's faith in that. You know, the first book of the early church is the book of Acts. And in chapter 2 of Acts, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." We shall see visions. Part of the sign of the end times, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Those believers, that includes us here this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you then this morning in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and we thank you for your word. We believe in your word. And Father God, this morning now, we want to receive from your word. So Father God, we ask this, that your will be done, and minister to our hearts. If there's someone who needs to respond. You've got something that's very clear you need to respond to in your heart. Respond now. And I tell you what, just lift up your hand and just acknowledge to the Lord that, yes, I'm responding. I'm lifting up this prayer right now. I'm visualizing this circumstance right now. I'm visualizing the healing of that child right now. I'm visualizing that situation being rectified. I'm visualizing that job. I'm visualizing a change in those circumstances. I'm exercising faith. I'm speaking to those circumstances. I'm speaking to that mountain. I'm changing things. But how am I changing things? By faith, I'm changing it. I'm changing the structure that I see before me with the eyes of faith and the exercising of that faith. If that's you, put your hand up this morning. There's something, and put your hand up. Show God you're responding to God. And let him know and speak to him now and speak to those circumstances. You know, the Lord is saying to us, he's saying, you speak to them. So often we go to God and we say, you speak to them, Lord. But he has commanded that we speak to them. Exercise faith. He says, you shall speak to the mountains. Not God speaking to the mountains, you. And he says, I've given my life that my life would manifest in and through you. So manifest his life and speak to your mountain this morning. Oh, Father God, you know, Lord, that we want to serve you in our lives. We want our lives to be glorious testimonies of Jesus, the abundant life that only Jesus gives. And so, Father God, we ask this morning that your will be done in and through us. Oh, Father, have your way. Have your way with us, we pray. Let your will be done. Savior God, have your way. Father God, we thank you. I pray, Father Lord, that you would remember to people's thinking the words that you've caused them to hear this morning. Let them hear, Lord, what the Holy Spirit is saying and how he's educating us this morning. And let them carry it into the rest of their lives in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Jesus. If you have a specific need for prayer, I want you to come down to the front. The Lord will heal you this morning. Come down to the front now with that request. And I will minister healing in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Father God.